If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
You're listening to Metal Shop here on 99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle, in studio right now with a band called Harm's Way, on tour, touring on their first Metal Blade Records release, Posthuman, killer album, and we've been playing the hell out of it here on Metal Shop. They're from Chicago. Welcome to Seattle, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks.
What's up?
Yeah,
thanks
well,
for
welcome
us.
Back. I mean, you guys have been here a few times in the past a few years, so.
And thanks for coming in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what we'll do is we'll kind of just swing around the room real quick, say your name, what you do in the band, and we'll move forward from there.
All right. I'm Bo. I play guitar.
I'm Casey. I play bass.
I'm James. I am the vocalist.
And I'm Chris, and I play drums.
So shout out to the one member we're missing, holding it down.
To Nick, eating somewhere.
Hope he got some good food.
The Seattle vegan eats.
Yeah. So your new album, Posthuman, first record on Metal Blade. I guess, how's it been? Metal Blade is a huge move. I mean, like, one of the top three metal labels, probably the top metal label in the world. It's a huge move. Have you guys noticed like a real like dramatic shift in like in the amount of people that have come out to your shows just for the simple fact that it's on Metal Blade?
Yeah, it's definitely been a cool experience thus far. We've seen it in our shows, especially supporting Posthuman. There's been a much more eclectic crowd coming in the shows.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's a polite
kids,
way to put it.
Metalheads, punk kids, weirdos, just everybody's kind of coming out. It's a very diverse group of people coming to these shows. So we've definitely seen the watched the growth that has kind of come with the album for sure.
Well, I've seen it. I mean, over just by being a fan of the band, I saw you guys a long time ago with Terror here in Seattle.
Oh, wow.
And then just a few years back, I saw you guys open for At the Gates and Decapitated down in Pomona.
Ooh, wow.
So, I mean, just that dramatic shift is it's cool that you guys have a kind of sound that can bridge that gap, kind of a crossover. Hardcore and metal. And then tonight you guys have a post-punk band, which is really cool, and I wanted to ask you guys about that. Like, you have a band called Soft Kill from Portland, kind of goth post-punk sound. If you were to look at it on paper, it might not make sense, but was there did you guys like purposely try to make like a mixed bill there? Are you guys friends with the band, or what was the move there?
We've been a fan of that band for a minute.
Yeah.
And we just kind of reached out to them. And then when they played Chicago on a recent tour, we went to the show and kind of met everybody. And everybody's really cool. And they kind of come from the same background as us and like have been into hardcore. And, there was a lot of similar wavelength type stuff going on.
Yeah.
And it was just the kind of thing where we hadn't been to the Pacific Northwest in a minute.
Sure.
And we couldn't make it up on our most recent headliner. So it was like, well, before we start Warped Tour, let's do a weekend of shows up there. Who can we get? And we really were kind of racking our brains with like what to do and how to kind of diversify and something like that. So it's definitely something we were actively trying to do, was get a different kind of bill. And I just asked Toby from Soft Kill if they would be into it, and it really developed very quickly from there. So they were fully on board, and so far, I mean, it's only been one show, but so far it's been
Well, it sounds like it's sonically different, like, but ethically, like maybe the same, kind of coming from the same backgrounds and stuff.
Exactly. I'm kind of curious about the Warped Tour, the final run, because
last year of Warped Tour.
They're not coming to Seattle, man. Mm-hmm. They're a little bummed about that, because we've all been going to the Warped Tour since we were, hey, Mom, can you take me to the Warped Tour? You know what I mean? So what do you guys expect from that? Obviously, it's a really wide, diverse.
It's going to be a grinding summer for you guys,
I
bet.
Yeah. How long are you guys going to be out on the road? Are you doing the whole run?
Yeah, so we're doing pretty much like the first 4.5 weeks of it.
Damn.
Cool. We kind of drop off the last 10 days. So we'll miss kind of one of the more grueling parts of the tour when it goes through Florida and whatnot.
grueling part. Yeah.
So it might be a little blessing in disguise, but
you'll obviously be the headliner of the whole event, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
main stage last night.
Oh yeah. But awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting experience for us. Obviously, it's something we've never done before. And we're going to be playing in front of, a range of people. Just
again, eclectic.
Quite the eclectic crowd.
Oh, I remember seeing Flogging Molly and Throwdown at the same day.
But that's kind of the point, right? It like ties into what we were saying about the Soft Kill shows. Is it's like, that's the idea. Mm-hmm. You can't play to the same people every tour. You want to try to diversify.
It's like preaching to the choir, And
sure.
So if you play to a different audience, you'll get, you know, people that might not have seen your name on a flyer, but then they're jamming your band on Spotify and then picking up your record next time you're through.
Yeah, our third man, Ryan, went last year and Knocked Loose was playing.
Yeah.
And they were like, yo, I've never seen that many people more terrified in their whole life. So go see Harm's Way at the Warped Tour. That leads me to my next question, though. Like, you guys probably went to the Warped Tour when you were kids, right? Saw some of those bands. Everyone, So what was the light bulb moment for you? Did it happen there? What was that moment in your life? Any specific like anecdotes about a record, a song, a moment you were like, damn, I got to get into heavy music, man. This is my world now.
I mean, I guess I'll take this one.
Sure.
This is James, the vocalist.
Basically, when I was younger, my dad was always really into music. So I was always around a lot of, you know, metal, classic.
That's a good
rock.
Influence, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess, like, I remember I was either in second or third grade. For Christmas, my aunt got me every Metallica CD.
Oh, that's
that
awesome.
So
welcome to the party, pal.
And I just remember, like, you know, Master of Puppets, Ride the Lightning, Injustice, and the Black Album, all, you know, they must have been, you know, 4 for $20 or something.
Yeah, you must have been pretty young at that age.
Yeah. I guess, what, 10, 9 or 10?
Perfect.
But I guess that was kind of my first introduction of, you know, listening to heavy music. You know, prior to that, my dad had always kind of showed me some stuff, but, you know, it was more classic rock.
Sure.
But Metallica, obviously, is...
still music. Yeah. I mean, that's the important
thing. Sure, yeah, absolutely. But that was, I guess, my kind of my first intro, and then it kind of built up from there. And I remember my most fond Warped Tour experience was I was in eighth grade. I went to see AFI.
Yep.
Awesome.
And it was right before they put out The Art of Drowning.
Ooh. That's a good era of AFI.
Sure, yeah,
good.
Absolutely. And I always remembered it. Davey Havoc was very anti-Sun that day. And he refused to stand in any part of the stage that had Sun.
Did he have a parasol with him?
I don't
out the sun?
Honestly, he was very... I mean, this was the kind of the crossover of getting more and more goth.
Yeah.
But that was always... That was easily the best... experience I've ever had.
You'll probably never forget it. Yeah.
We quote it often.
So do you guys have you ever had like a young kid come up to you or somebody that was like, wow, man, this is so cool. Like, what's your experience like with younger fans? Because coming from the hardcore scene, we all did. It's kind of a younger scene. You know, you know how that goes. What was a moment, if there have been any, where somebody came up and they were like, you noticed that you had made a change for
maybe
something.
It was like their first show.
You know, I don't know if anything off the top of my head, but there's certainly, I mean, James, you could probably speak to this better than me, but there are certainly people who have had an impact on their life on just like James being a lifter guy.
Yeah. right. Yeah.
That certainly like impacts and influences people. And as somebody who's not a lifter guy,
sure,
and who's kind of objectively behind that and watching my friend like influence people in a very, what I think, a very positive way, like,
right,
that's crazy. I think that's really awesome. And it's, you know, that's not like our band per se, like, it's not really like our message isn't necessarily like get in the gym, you know, but it certainly is
300.
Like, it certainly is an aspect of the band that people saw, a lot of people identify with and kind of connect with, and I think that that's cool. Even though the last thing I want to do is go to the gym.
Well, I mean, specifically, I remember the first time I saw Harm's Way, I think was probably on MySpace or maybe Facebook. I don't know. But it was the photo of James with a ski mask on,
dude,
shirtless.
That's the photo.
And that just put you guys on my radar. And I was I got to check this out.
We have said multiple times that is actually the photo that did get a lot. There are, what, three things. There was the pentagram long sleeve that we put out and everyone bought. And the picture, and then what was the other thing? Like the video of that set.
There's a video of one of our shows, the first time we played California, and there's a fight
by our friend Colin Young. Right, yeah. Shout out Colin Young.
What's up, Colin?
Twitching tongues.
Thanks, Colin. You know, it's
dude, you got to shout out Zach Wolf too.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Zach Wolf
he took the photo.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And it sounds funny to say, but that was legitimately, we noticed a sudden like increase on it was MySpace at the time of
that's
of
pre-viral viral.
Yeah. It was wild.
And you know what? It definitely helped when I saw the videos of James at Burning Fight doing like feet first like dives into the pit. Like it was pretty gnarly. So James, is that are you a competitive power lifter?
I don't know. I guess I would say I have competed. Okay. It's not like the focal point of my life necessarily, but I do enjoy powerlifting and that style of training. And whenever I have the chance, I try to compete. Obviously, it's not as easy when you're on tour.
Yeah, is that difficult on tour?
Maintain that or
I try to
sneak in.
I have Chris and I, and I've said this a lot of times, but we go to the YMCA.
Sure.
They kind of honor your membership anywhere you go. And
that's awesome.
Then I'll visit various powerlifting gyms or whatever. So it's not easy, but if you want to get something done and you want it to be a part of your life, then
hey, you got
to
keep up the appearance, man.
Of course, yeah.
that's the thing. If that's what your band known at, what if you were to show up one day and you're like overweight and people are like, that's not freaking Harm's way, man.
Exactly,
what the hell?
It's just more dangerous.
It's not the record I bought.
Hey, so would you say that show you referenced with the photo and everything, was that one of the gnarliest shows you guys have ever played? What's one of the wildest reactions you guys have gotten, like in your memory? Could be anything, you know.
We played the Tower in Cleveland once, and people quite literally tore the room apart.
Oh, man.
Tore a door
house
off.
Destruction party.
Yeah, that venue was kind of infamous for being like really, really wild, but not necessarily dangerously wild. Like, I remember there's a whole thing where they would like pour marbles on the ground in a mosh pit.
Oh, wow. Like,
kind of acme falling.
Good luck, two steppers.
Yeah. So we played, and this was kind of almost close to that time period from that one show. That show we keep referencing was from Florida. This is for U Fest.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there was two. So there's a show. This is for U Fest in Florida, where the infamous photos
the picture
were taken.
Was taken.
Right.
And this was like James in his glory days of just being probably the most angriest person I knew, and he was just taking all that aggression out in the crowd at that time. Obviously, we've kind of evolved since then. And then the second show was in Southern California,
San Bernardino.
There's a huge fight. We refuse to stop playing at that time.
Just keep going.
A chair goes flying.
D7.
Yeah.
Fight music, baby.
And then that got a lot of attention, for better or for worse.
So. But yeah, so the Tower show was pretty wild.
The North Carolina show where people tore the barricade down was pretty cool.
Dude, they
too.
Tore.
Jesus.
There was
man.
A barricade. Yeah, it was on a Code Orange tour in 2015. There was a barricade like normal in front of the stage, but it was like bolted into the ground. Like, it was really in there, and people literally
they got
ripped
it out.
They're like, not anymore.
The venue was real stoked.
got to mention the Halloween show where we wore actual pumpkins on our heads.
Yes.
That was early on as well.
Was that in Chicago, your hometown?
It was in Northwest Indiana.
Cool. Yeah.
And as soon as it started, we all took them off and smashed them, and it was a basement.
It smelled real great, probably. Yeah.
There was literally pumpkin covering the entire person's basement. And it was just, it was very violent, I remember.
Very violent for everyone.
Because I was just throwing pieces of pumpkin, like, full speed into
just
the crowd.
Right in your face.
It was nicknamed the Basement Destruction Show.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Everyone booked this band.
This is old. This is old.
Yeah, this is long. This is almost 10 years ago now.
So, I mean, on that same vein, like, obviously, you guys have been involved in hardcore and metal now, especially with Metal Blade. First of all, congratulations on that. I guess
Thank you.
That's really, really cool. We could go on for this start a whole new podcast about this. How have you seen hardcore and metal and heavy underground music change since you started to where you are now?
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think everybody would kind of agree that the biggest impact on all guitar music is a new term that I've become really fond
guitar
of.
Music.
Guitar music.
Okay.
Is got to be social media, streaming services, mm-hmm. just the way in which people get their music and like, hear about new bands. The attention span is so brief and so short.
And there's so many bands.
And you have the length of a scroll on Instagram. You know, like that's how much time you have to grab someone's attention.
Swiping.
Yeah, yep. just keep on scrolling. So that's big. I mean, I remember, we were just talking about this the other day. Where before, like, the era of social media, like, you would never know that one of your favorite whoever musicians who you thought was like a mysterious wizard locked up somewhere in a tower has like kitty cats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you would never.
It's got a soft side.
Yeah. Like, so I think it does a lot to break down barriers, both good and bad.
Yeah.
But it's certainly like, it's an interestingly transparent time to like be in a band. And absolutely, especially in like a, hey, we're a metal band.
Do you think that takes away some of the mystique from it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's got to be a kind of a double-edged sword a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys, are you aware of the Axe to Grind podcast mm-hmm. and a lot of those other cats? Like, that's another thing, is you got people, kind of like we're doing right now, just sitting in a room talking about music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is really cool because you get to hear from your favorite musicians and this and that, and just being real and like actually like down to earth.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so you can kind of relate.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's like a terrible thing. The pendulum certainly swings both ways in both good and negative, because there's something cool about being a kid and like getting,
well, because we always used to watch interviews, like even at the advent of YouTube with our bands and your favorite, but even like Davey Havoc, you'd sit down and listen to him talk, you'd be like, wow, that's so cool, man.
Yeah.
Right.
And so hopefully we're doing that for somebody right now.
Yeah.
But now it's all content creation, like DIY content creation, which is cool. Like, you know, a band could go out and put a record out and it could become huge and it not be on any label at all.
Mm-hmm.
And now the labels are hitting them up, throwing like money at them just because they've already made a huge, you know, I mean, just the rise of, you know, like SoundCloud Rapping, for instance, like those people are getting like $7 million contracts off of SoundCloud, you know. But also, like, I also wanted to mention, like, I think, like, just being going to hardcore shows since what, 2000 or so, and going to metal shows, I think that it's become a lot more open-minded, in my opinion. Like, Code Orange is a band that like blends all kinds of different styles. You guys have a lot of industrial style, I think, in some of your music, and I don't think, from my standpoint, it doesn't seem like there's much pushback on that. People accept it. It's cool. It's different.
Yeah.
Is that something you would agree with? Or
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, these shows we're doing right now with Softkill is like indicative of that.
Totally.
You know, just that the boundaries and barriers are kind of eroding, and there's more of an open-mindedness to just music in general.
Yeah.
You know, you start to realize,
like a band like Turnstile too. Like,
right.
They'll go out with like a, you know, like a post-punk band, absolutely, and then like a rapper or something.
Right. Right. And you start to see that. Like the world of music is a lot smaller than you think, and there's a lot of kind of commonalities across genres.
Exactly. I mean, we'd see Terror go on tour with the Casualties. You know, we'd see Trash Talk take rappers on tours.
I think Trash Talk deserves a lot of that for going out with rappers early on. Like, I think Trash Talk is a band that you should definitely mention if you're going to talk about, like, crossing genres and crossing boundaries.
But it's really cool, man. It's cool to see, like, okay, so there's, like, what, and we've talked about, we just started broaching on this subject a couple weeks ago, like, this newer wave of upcoming hardcore bands who are getting a lot of attention from metal labels, who have seen the work that's been put in. You know, we've been recording our own records for decades, putting our own money into it, so to get a little support. But now we've got like a Power Trip, we got a Code Orange,
Harm's Way.
So like, where do you see the future of this going, man?
Like, we're going to see a Big Four tour, like back in the day when Metallica, Megadeth, all that went tour. Will we see like a Harm's Way, Code Orange, Turnstile, freaking Power Trip tour? Like the monsters of like, this is your time now.
Yeah.
This is the next shit.
We'd open every night.
I don't know about that.
You'd be rolling the dice.
The future, I don't know. That's a really good question.
I mean,
and that's kind of what's so
exciting.
It's unwritten,
you know?
Yeah, that's kind of what's so exciting about where we are right now is... We just started the record cycle and touring on this record.
Yeah.
So we're very much at the beginning.
Right.
However, we're certainly learning from our peers and learning from our people who we pay attention to. We were told by lots of friends saying like, yeah, Warped Tour is a great opportunity. You guys need to do this. Even though, like, because I think anybody, especially coming from the background that most hardcore bands come from, is like, you hear Warped Tour and you're kind of like, man, I don't know. Like, it's a risk. Like, no matter what, it's a risk.
And it's a grind, too, from what I hear.
Oh, for sure. But, you know, we heard from credible people that it was a good thing to do.
Good.
Knocked Loose had a wonderful time. Simply wonderful. So, good. And they told us about it, and, you know, a lot of stuff like that. It's like, okay, well, like, let's go. Let's do it. Let's see what it can do. Let's see
Plus, it's the last one. Yeah. You got to get on there,
man.
We'll
do it.
Right.
That's awesome. So, okay. So one thing I would like to acknowledge, like one of the most gnarly, violent shows I've ever seen was in 2004. It was Hatebreed First Blood in a huge, huge, like, Soto, Showbox Soto down there. I was witnessing people crawling out, bleeding from the face because they just didn't, you know.
Yeah.
You're bringing together, like, the Pushmosh metal kids.
There's a Despised Icon on that one, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, like, how do you guys still have a lot of your carryover? I would assume you would from the hardcore scene into the metal and then, like,
how does that interact?
Yeah, like what's that been like? I'm sure you've had some interesting conversations, to say the least. Eclectic.
I'm trying to
conversation.
I'm like, hey, new fans, like, it's okay. They know they're not trying to punch you in the face, really.
Well, they might be.
Like, yeah, like how do your, like, maybe new fans interact with the old fans who just want to, you know,
get down,
mosh.
I mean, I think it definitely creates some tension at shows. You know, when there's, you know, people just want to stand up front and headbang or just kind of move around versus, right, like, hardcore kids who want to, like, spin kick and throw their fists.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think fights are obviously dumb.
Yeah.
You know, and the horseshoe f***ing, I'm sorry, guys.
No,
it's all good, dude.
The horseshoe f***ing. That's exactly what it should be called.
The horseshoe
f***ing. Horseshoe.
Oh, good. I almost swore earlier and I was like, ah!
Hey, it's pre-recorded. You, man. Go for it.
Yeah. Like, the horseshoe f***ing sucks that happens at, like, a lot of hardcore shows.
Yeah.
People want to spin kick, you know, and I know it creates a weird vibe, you know, and I mean, at the end of the day, it's just, you want people to just get down your band in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Shout out to Hate56. They are anti- horseshoe.
Yeah, that's right.
What's up, Sonny?
And you know, on the record, Harmsley is very, very much anti-horseshoe.
Fully nice. On the record.
Fully on the record.
Stop playing such heavy f***ing jams there,
that's,
man.
That's what
God
it is.
Damn.
So, I mean, you know, it's, we want anyone and everyone to be able to get into our band and, you know, interact with it however you see fit. So I guess, you know, more harmony at our shows, please.
Yeah. I mean, that being said, we were talking about this the other day too. We had lots of people coming to our headliner shows. I say lots of people, but, well, let's say 10% overall, which is 10% overall, who were saying, like, yeah, I saw you on the Soulfly tour that we had done at the end of last year.
That's
tour.
Awesome.
Yeah. And at those shows, there's kids, you know, like hardcore dancing, who came out to see us. So, like, people, I think people who are into aggressive music, there's two things. They're familiar with it. And then also, especially like the older metalhead crowds, they are clinging to aggressive music. So if this is something that comes along with it, they're like, right on, man. You know, like,
bring it, bring,
you know,
the
within,
riffs.
Within reason, they're genuinely very cool and very, like, accepting of, oh, this is what these people do to this music, you know?
You know, that's what I've found, actually, since all the interviews we've done for the last damn near two decades. It's always the up-and-coming bands, obviously not you guys, who are, like, hitting the peak that are, like, the biggest douchebags. Because they think they're on top of the world, but it's always the older heads, like, you know, the bigger bands that are the most humble because they get it, you know what I mean? And so, thank you guys for
He's talking
cool.
about deathcore bands.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. So, that said, obviously, you guys, as you mentioned, are just beginning the tour cycle on this brand new record. That said, though, we know, and if you're working hard, and I know you are, you got plans. What's coming up for the rest of the year, maybe next year? What's up with Harm's Way for the, you know, the next foreseeable future?
Yeah, what can we talk about?
Anything you can talk about. Yeah.
After we do, after we finish Warped, we go to Europe.
Nice.
Cool.
For the first time on Post-Human, we'll be going out there with Sanction.
It's going to be good.
Sanction is like a younger band from
the
East Coast.
Yeah, they just did that whole Dying Fetus tour.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Sanction will be on it, and then a band from the UK called Renounced. So we'll be going over there for the first time on Post-Human. It'll be
awesome.
We've obviously been to Europe a handful of times, but so we'll be supporting Post-Human there, and then come home for a bit, and then we have a spring. I'm sorry, we have an early fall thing coming. We have two things coming.
See, I knew you guys had plans.
Yeah, we can just say that we have like a very straight up hardcore tour coming up in early fall.
Yeah,
later fall we have a very metal tour.
Yeah,
nice.
So we're going to be doing a, you know, some crossover stuff, some hardcore stuff, just kind of mixing it up over the course of the next 6 months.
It'll be
say.
Everywhere though. It'll
That's
be
awesome.
Full, all over the U.S. All
okay,
over
cool.
And
are
over
you
Europe.
Coming back here? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hope so.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah,
I mean,
we don't have no dates have been announced.
If enough people come out to this one, maybe.
Yeah, there you
That's
go.
Right.
Thank you.
So
our last time here was 3 years ago, which
right?
is crazy.
Which
to
is
think
crazy.
About.
Yeah.
And the last time before that was 4 years ago.
Yeah. So you know, we don't make it up here too often, but when we are here, we love it.
Yeah. I mean, we're tucked up in the corner there.
Yeah. It's so far.
Okay, so you guys, look at the roster of Metal Blade. It's crazy. I mean, you guys are label mates with Amon Amarth. You guys are label mates with Gwar, King Diamond, Merciful Fate. You guys are with some very heavy hitters in the metal world, even bands like Twitching Tongues. What are your, like, favorite Metal Blade bands of all time? Like you know, bands that broke up, bands that are current.
What's the
Metal Blade record for you? The Metal Blade Records band for you?
Putting them on the spot.
Well, you know, past and present, certainly Harm's Way is hugely influenced by Bolt Thrower. That's yes. one of our all-time
Amen.
favorite bands. I'm trying to think. What were some of the other bands?
I knew, because there's so many. It's like, what do I do?
I heard you guys mention Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah.
Cannibal Corpse.
Slayer. I mean, obviously Slayer.
Yeah.
I love King Diamond.
Yeah. Merciful Fate.
The loose affiliation with Metallica.
Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah, Goo Goo Dolls for sure.
Classic. Goo Goo Dolls.
You know, Dizzy Up the Girl. Oh, maybe that was a little later.
Not the Metal Blade Red Day.
But that's, I mean, that's huge.
But that, yeah, it's, yeah.
Just to even have your guys' number in that catalog, damn, Metal Blade. I mean, among so those, cool. It's awesome.
And Brian Slagle is like one of the OGs, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We met him. I think that's the only time we met Brian, right?
Was he wearing a hockey jersey?
He was not. He was in Pomona, though. It was at the Glass House show that you were at on the At the Gates tour. And he couldn't have been cooler. Couldn't have been more like welcoming.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's lots of people who work with Metal Blade who we're very, you know, close with. But Brian has a bit
shout out to Vince.
Yeah, for sure.
What up, Vince?
Brian has a bit of a, you know, a legend to him. Absolutely. So it was very cool to meet him. It's cool to be not even just like associated. It's cool to be involved.
Yeah, you're part of the family.
Label. Yeah, exactly. So
that's awesome.
It's awesome.
Congratulations, Jen. So one of the last questions we like to ask, one of our favorite ones, and show us if you can, if not, or if you want to, pick a scar on your body. Tell us a story about how you got it.
Scar?
Yeah.
I have this crazy kind of Harry Potter thing up here.
Oh, wow.
That looks like a right on the hairline. Yeah. Right there.
When I was six, I was in a car accident. My head went through a window.
Jesus Christ.
I got 32 stitches.
Holy shit.
Well,
that's it. That and my appendix scar, you know?
Yeah. That's hardcore. I have a hardcore related scar.
Okay, let's hear it.
Yeah. I got a couple. I know.
Yeah, I broke my arm at a Terror Shattered Rome show. So.
It's not as cool as like, it just didn't happen at a hardcore show. But I, when I was, I think a sophomore in high school, I traveled to see Mental.
Nice.
It was the Mental record release, and you know the 7-inch. I think Think I Care played, Mental, Stop and Think, Striking Distance, American Nightmare.
Damn.
And Suicide File.
That's a great lineup.
So,
God damn, dude. You lucky son of a bitch.
So long story short, we end up staying with this guy who offered us to stay at his house.
Yeah.
And his mom bought us bagels in the morning. And I was slicing the bagel.
Bagel related injury.
And I must have got through the bagel and didn't realize that I was cutting my own finger.
You're still going?
And I got about, you know, I don't know, maybe a quarter of an inch into my finger. And
Jesus.
And I still have a nice scar there today.
It's like, anybody want a bagel with a side of typo?
So every time I look at it, I'm like, yeah, that happened at
Mental,
at the Mental record.
I like that we've been friends for like 15 years. I've never heard that story.
Hey, man.
New stories. And that you chose the bagel story.
Is it still there? You got it. Let me see it. It's still there. Put that up.
It's, you see that thing?
Oh, yeah.
It's a lovely
story. I like that you chose the bagel story over breaking your arm during our set.
Yeah,
it's just par for the course.
Everyone saw that. Yeah. They saw the cast. I was on tour.
Yeah, mine was, so I have two scars, my left hand, well, actually wrist and left hand. And I was like 17, I was in high school, and I was carrying candles upstairs from my mom.
Okay.
And I slipped going up the stairs, which I used to do all the time on my parents' stairs.
They were carpeted. They're slippery.
They're slippery.
Footloose.
I slip, the glass breaks, goes into my hand.
Oh, no.
And the significance of the story is, so a couple days later, Bo and I, our band at the time, which was our first band called Double Cross, it was like a youth crew, straight edge hardcore band.
Cool. Into it.
Yeah, we were like 16, 17 years old. We had our record release for our first 7-inch. And so I had to play the show with like my hand wrapped.
The Outbreak show?
I think they're, like the Ice Factory in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
So our 7-inch just comes out. It was like on a Tuesday. it's our record release. So I had to play the show with like a bandaged hand and also lie to my parents about where I was going that night, because if they would have heard that I was playing this show with stitches in my hand, they would have not approved of that.
Not cool.
We're gonna go stay over at Jimmy's house.
Yeah.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, which happened all the time when I was younger to go to shows. Just, you know, sleeping over here, sleeping over there. They had no idea I was going to the city to see bands. So I had to play the show with stitches in my hand. Made it work. It sucked, but
did they pop?
Works for a great story.
You were good. Did you bleed?
I did not bleed.
Like Andrew WK. And
everything worked out.
Chris
fine,
also broke his toe because he dropped my guitar head on his flip flop wearing foot.
Damn,
yeah, that was good.
Don't wear flip flops.
Yeah, never again.
All too common nightmare. Harm's Way from Chicago in the studio here on Metal Shot. Man, thank you guys again so much for coming up.
Thanks for having us.
And we got one last question for you, if you could. Now, no matter how embarrassing it is, just be real with us. What was the first CD, tape, or record you actually bought with your own money? The first thing you actually sought out and purchased?
No guilty pleasures. No guilty pleasures do not exist.
My first, I went to Tower Records.
Cool. Chicago?
In Chicago.
Yep.
Well, I was at Stratford in Bloomingdale, and I bought Thriller.
Nice.
I think it was like $10.
Damn, yeah, fine.
Thriller.
It's a great.
Was it on cassette tape?
It was on CD.
Nice.
Which was really crazy. Nobody had CD players in their car.
Yeah.
Like my mom didn't have it. So I like had to listen to it on this little crappy boom box.
Yeah.
Right. It was still great, I bet.
Yeah, it was awesome.
mine, I used to go to a babysitter's when I was in third grade. And her son was a little bit older than me, and he... I remember he had just bought Green Day, Dookie, and Weezer, the Blue Album.
Yes.
And I remember saying, oh, I have to either get one of these, but I only have money for one.
I know exactly what you're talking about. The allowance conundrum.
That's right. And then I went to, I believe it was, is it called Coconuts?
Coconut Records.
Yeah, Coconut Records, and I bought the Weezer Blue Album.
Yeah.
First record I purchased.
So. My friend, he saw Hatebreed back in the day, and they covered My Name is Jonas.
What?
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yo, somebody hit up Jamie.
It's as strange as you would imagine.
Make that happen again.
With Jamie singing like that. Like just goofing around on stage as like an encore.
Okay.
Just messing. Hilarious.
It's like Weekend Nachos. They covered.
Yeah. In the Garage.
In the Garage.
That's awesome.
And another song.
Yeah, there's like a couple Weezer songs that they covered for like a limited 7-inch they did. So.
That rules.
Yeah. So I was given a lot of CDs by my older siblings, like, you know, Kerplunk and, you know, Nirvana's Nevermind, stuff like that. But the first CD I can honestly remember purchasing was Wu-Tang's Forever.
Yes. It's expensive. It's a double album.
It was a double
album.
It's
like $30 back in the day.
And that's a commitment.
And I purchased it from Target, and I was like with my dad, and I remember specifically taking the price tag and trying to cover like the parental advisory sticker with it.
This album says the F word.
This Tipper Gore
10 million times.
I remember doing that and then purchasing the album, and big investment.
Dude, I remember that. I remember seeing the Triumph video, and it came on, and I went to go take a shit, and I came out, and it was still on. I was like, this song is so long. Everyone's got like 5 verses.
Everyone has a verse, yeah.
It's crazy.
All 9.
It's a good album.
Hey, dude, nothing but respect for you guys. Thank you again for coming from Chicago and handling business and like putting this music back out on the map. Not back out on the map, but on the map. And putting in effort, it's not easy. Congratulations on the Metal Blade signing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Posthuman is great. Do you guys have any final words for the Northwest audience before we head over to the Highline and
eat some vegan sandwiches and mosh?
Yeah, we'll be at the Highline tonight. We'll be in Vancouver tomorrow at the Astoria for any international listeners. And then we'll be down in Portland at the Hawthorne on Sunday for anyone who may be listening from that part of the States.
Yeah,
so,
we got a couple. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but we're stoked to be here and hope to see you guys there.
Right on. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Harm's Way here on Metal Shop.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in.
we host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.